Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends. Today is Wednesday, 23rd day of February, 2011. Let's have a look at the numbers. The Dow is down 78 points. S&P is down 10. Comp is off by 38. And, you know, I'm just glancing across the studio here. I've actually got CNBC up, and they have the father of the American mortgage. They're talking to this guy. What are your thoughts on the 30-year mortgage? I understand that it was invented, when it was invented and why it was invented, so that people could own a home. But even before I knew a thing or two about a thing or two, I was very suspect of that. 30 years? Really? And the interest. I'm going to pay that all up front. And then I get to check the principal. You know, I've never been a fan of the 30-year mortgage. I've owned a few homes. I've always encouraged people to make that extra payment, double up, whatever it takes, pay it off in 15 years. Now, I have a neighbor. He's only been a neighbor for about a year. And some good friends of mine actually own the house that this fellow and his family have been renting. And my friends have decided to move back from Hawaii. They're going to live in their home. And so this gentleman and his family, they've been renting on a month-to-month basis. And he says, hey, you know, going to miss you. We got to move. They're coming home. I go, yeah, I know. I heard they're coming home. And he says, but hey, you know, we found a nice place. It's in a golf community, which is pretty good, kind of almost a step up, you know. And he said, and we finally found someone that would qualify us. So instead of renting, we were going to be able to buy it. And, you know, that's awesome. It truly is. So I said all that to say what? Well, did I mention this guy's like 65? So, yeah, I mean, do the math. And on his 95th birthday, he can celebrate having a home that's actually paid for. Now, the argument would be, well, you're going to have to, he's already paying rent anyway, and he'll be paying that till the day he dies and never own anything or have anything to leave behind. So, okay, I get it. I understand. And I would never even, if I hadn't glanced up and saw the screen and saw the father of the mortgage on CNBC, I would have never even gone down this path today. But I've always felt that the 30-year mortgage, which, you know, was designed to help people, really did more damage than good. Do I think everyone should own a home? Absolutely. Well, in this market, you should own two or three, or maybe a small apartment complex, or maybe a community nestled up against the mountain, a gated community, with a Da Vinci statue in the middle, like the one I have my eye on. I would love to own that thing. It's less than $2 million for 8 homes, 14 building spots, backed up against a mountain preserve. Hey, and with consumer confidence on the rise, how could you go wrong? All right, let's look at this chart we have in front of us. This is a one-hour chart of the S&P 500 ES E-mini. As you can see from my little yellow arrow that I had put on yesterday during the broadcast, that we needed to watch for resistance to appear. On Monday, we had traded down through support here. So once we traded through support, once that was broken, you would expect to see support here, but the way this works, we've got to see some resistance before we can see support. So on the overnight, the Globex session at 13.1975, our indicator dynamically printed resistance for us. And so anyone taking a trade based upon that one indicator, you had a handsome reward of about 17 points so far, with very little risk and very little drawdown. Now, the other side of the coin is if you bought over here at dynamic support, well, let's just hope you got stopped out a couple points later, that you didn't allow yourself to go through all this agony and aggravation, tied up in a knot, screaming, praying, wailing, gnashing your teeth. Yeah, right? Stops, they're huge, they're important. They're how you can actually win at this thing called trading. Our friend David loves to talk about that, and I'm sure he'll bring it up during today's conversation, and we'll have him on here momentarily. But I'd like to say good morning to my co-host, Michael, Bert, Mike Reed, whoever's here in this virtual studio with me. And they all spoke.
Good morning.
once.
I was actually talking.
See, there's a time delay between Phoenix and Boston. That's what that is. So.
And my second mute button was on. I couldn't get to it fast enough. Sorry about that.
Well, it seems like just 30 minutes ago we were doing this somewhere else. Okay, here we are.
We were.
Man, this thing's just tanking.
And look at the crude go. The crude's almost up at 100.
Yeah, let me whip over to a crude chart for a minute. All right, here's the crude. This is a 30-minute chart. 99.48. It's that $100 mark right in here.
Yep, looming.
Now, the high... How high did we get yesterday? Okay, the high on this rampage so far, 98.40. If we roll right, we just took out the 98.40. We're at 99.53, guys. We talked to Bert earlier this morning about how difficult it is for oil to break through that century mark, the $100 barrier. And he gave us some examples of where... In the past, it's banged its head a number of times to try to get through that. I mean, that's just a big number, $100 a barrel. we may see it happen right here today, live in real time. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast via iTunes a week from now, well, you've already read about it in the newspaper. But those of you who are tuned in live this morning and who are watching the chart, you have the opportunity to see. Well, I guess it's not really history in the making anymore because we've already done it. Oil has been over $100 a barrel. And they're talking about $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon at the gas pump for the summer driving season. But the king of Saudi Arabia this morning said that not only is he going to spend $30 billion on social improvement programs in his country so that he doesn't have an Egypt or a Libya on his hands, but that he will gladly, whatever oil we don't get from Libya, whatever oil the world doesn't get from Libya, that he's got reserves and he'll gladly make up for it. So this price, you know, this fear-based run-up on price, we're talking about a country that produces 2% of the world's oil. That's not a lot. It's 2%. The king says he can make it up and not even break a sweat. All right, Michael, that was a very pronounced sigh there. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, it's just... Sorry, did you hear my big sigh?
Yeah, but maybe you're in a bad trade.
No. I was frustrated because it's jumping around so fast. I can't do the math fast enough. So I'm trying to do it all in my head, of course, and it's just jumping around so fast. You know, I went long a few minutes ago, and it worked out so fast that it, you know, it's just amazing.
Okay, now guys, I realize this looks pretty quiet here, but that's a 30-minute chart. If we go out to a 6-tick range, okay, now that's a range chart, different than a normal tick chart.
Yeah. We're going to get up to 100 here. It is, it's jumping
inevitable.
Around like crazy. We just got up to 99.74.
Right. Okay, now you can get an idea of what it looks like when it's jumping around. Here you go. It just hit dynamic support.
Mm-hmm. And that's a 6-tick range.
Yeah, that's a 6-tick range. Now look
sorry.
At this.
Sorry for the big sigh. It's just a frustrating moment for me.
Now look at this climb we had right here, guys. We had a bullish cross right here, and this thing ran from 98.80 to wherever it is now.
At a high of 99.74.
Yeah, here's where it crossed again, right here. So got to 99.70, and so in oil dollars, that's a nice day's work if you were in that trade.
$900.
If you stayed in that trade. Now, Bert, tell us what are the brokers, the money managers, what are they thinking about this $100 oil? I mean, there's no reason to support $100 oil. We're talking about Libya, 2% of the world's oil production. King from Saudi Arabia says he'll make up for it. It's not a problem. Why does oil keep going up?
Just the fear factor. That's number one. I mean, even Cushing, Oklahoma, where WTI delivers, it's overflowing with crude oil. So there's plenty of crude oil out there. But the problem is that there's just, you know, when you have fear and you have just some momentum, and when you have a market that's parabolic, you know, all bets are off, really. You know, charts aren't going to do any good. Fundamentals aren't going to do any good. It's just pure momentum. And it takes a lot of guts to stand in front of it. It's just a difficult trade because now your risk is 2 or 3-fold the trade. And so it's just difficult. So, you know, from large trader's standpoint, they might see this just as an opportunity. You know, just pure momentum. So, and we got a lot of speculators and stuff trying, you know, are getting long and trying to get long. And the best you can just tell them is, hey, you better watch your back and use stop losses because at some point here this is going to come to an end. and it's going to come down hard and fast, so brace yourself. So,
you think it'll get through 100 on the first try?
Not the first time. It'll go like 10. If it goes to 100, it'll go like 105 or 99, 95. You know, might fall shy of it the first time around.
Where are we on gold today?
We are at 14, 13 and a half. We're up 12 and a half.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And silver?
33.47, up 60.
But
it seems like a lot, but it doesn't have quite the same energy as the gold does today. And that's because a lot of your industrial metals like palladium, platinum, copper, they're getting their butts kicked today. So I think it's keeping the silver down a little bit.
Hey, Lynn in the chat room just made a good point. The ES hitting 1,300.
Yeah.
Big round. We're talking about the big round number on oil to the upside, 100. Same dynamic applies on the downside. Now let's see where the S&P cash is. S&P cash is at 1,302.60. So just above that 1,300 mark. And the Dow sitting at 12,110. So, I mean, if this thing doesn't firm up, we could be looking at Dow 12,000 again or below a break. And if we could break, we may break today's session, we may very easily break 1,300 unless it firms up. Now, I think David mentioned yesterday that one of the numbers he was watching, I think he said 1,302. I think he also mentioned, I don't think he actually mentioned 1,300, but I do believe he mentioned 1,302. But we all kind of know to watch 1,300. Well, maybe we don't all know to watch 1,300, but as Lynn pointed out, it is a big round number, and it is, you know, psychologically, it's a big number, and so a lot of people are watching it. And we'll see, we should see some kind of slowdown in this sell-off.
Yeah, I was thinking 1298, 1296 is what kind of Leslie and I are looking at. Maybe break that low, that 1300, and I'd like to see it close. If the bulls are going to try to fight and come back with this thing, I think it's important that it closes at 1306, 1307 by the end of the day here.
On the Dow this morning, we talked about in the live training room that 12,125, 12,130. That was our lowest weekly zone on the Dow, and it had not been broken. The ES broke Monday, but we still had this one last bastion of hope that if that broke, we had nothing below to provide support to the ES. And while it tried for, let's see, 2 hours, okay, it finally gave way. We traded through dynamic support. We took out that last weekly zone. Our cycle is just where it should be on a move like this. And where she stops, I don't know. We had dynamic support set up on the 30-minute chart. That was taken out. It held here. It held here. And now it's gone. Sentiment, obviously, still incredibly bearish. Last week, we only had one bearish day of the whole week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Bullish, we closed on the high of the day Friday. And then Sunday night, we gap open lower. And the rest is giving Mike Reed one of his biggest weeks in a long time, I bet, because he loves to short the market. And I just got an email from him, so I think he'll be in. I'm trying to see where this line originated, because it's on here for a reason. Okay. This was the last significant low that we had in the ES. See this line right here? Now, this goes all the way back to February 4th. Really, might want to be here. But if that gets taken out, then the next number down would be 1292. Bert, did you say 1292?
1298 to 96 is kind of what we're eyeballing.
Okay, here's 96 right here.
Yeah.
And then here's 98 right up here, right where this line is at, is, you know what, 98. And that's just an area. It's not an exact spot. Okay.
Good spot to buy it. But you got to have some catching the fall of knife here, and depends on your strategy. Blue Horseshoe likes it down there as far as we like it. We like buying it down there. So we'll see.
Hey. See
what trouble we get into.
For those of you who are a part of the live training room, your email, if you're listening to this just via audio, via the radio right now, inside the email that you received, there is a link at the bottom that gets you into this portion of the program so that you can actually see the charts. You're welcome to, of course, just listen, because you may have your own charts up and running and you don't need to see our charts. But if you want to come in, you want to be able to type in questions and that kind of thing, participate in the Q&A, we encourage you to do that. In fact, that is open to anyone. Anyone who's on our mailing list, you got an email before the market opened Tuesday that contained a link to get you into this session. You don't have to be a CFRN partner. You don't have to be on the free trial. This is open to everyone. Okay? So tell a neighbor, tell a friend. And with that, we'll go to our studios in beautiful downtown Las Vegas.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
Kick this party up a notch.
Well, you certainly did by getting me on your program.
Mike Reed's supposed
myself.
To be joining us today. I just got an email from him, so I'll keep an eye out.
Well, good. I'd like to say good morning to everybody, your listeners as well, and pleasure to be here, Dwayne. There's a lot happening in the markets, and we can talk about all of that right now, or we can start on any subject you'd like.
Got any new jokes?
Well, those will come out as I'm speaking to you,
okay.
As you do silly things like walk away and get a cup of coffee or get some dry cleaning done while Mike, you know, your partner takes, you know, the entire load of the radio show.
Silly
times where both of you are gone and I'm left alone to talk to your listeners by myself because I can't find anybody, you know.
Come on.
Those are silly times, too. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, dude.
How are you?
I am all right so far.
Well, I hope you're better from your cold. You sound great, honestly.
I'm feeling much better than I was last week. Okay. However, my entire family is ill now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
so
happens.
Man.
You know, that's,
yes.
That definitely happens. You know, first of all, I'd like to start, if we can today, with soybeans. And I wanted to mention to Dwayne and Michael that, again, and to the listeners, because of Dwayne and Michael, I've spent some time looking at some of these other markets. Soybeans we've been already working with, but we've been dealing with gold, and I want to catch up on gold a little bit because there's some yesterday I sounded a little bit off on gold, and I'll go into that in a minute. But let's just start really quickly with soybeans. And we are actually in a soybean trade right now in, unfortunately, the July contract. We should be in May. Michael, are you in May in your system, or what are you trading?
I'm trading April crude gold.
Yeah.
Trading March ES, and also March 6E.
What about soybeans, or are you?
I I am not trading the soybeans for right now.
Okay. Well, if people are trading the soybeans, they probably would be wise to be in the May contract from what Bert told me. We're in a trade right now based on the July contract, which is not as liquid. But be that as it may, we just have to deal with it. And under normal conditions, the market, the advance in soybeans based off of July, yesterday's low, would advance to 1340 to 1341. Today's high was 13. This is the initial advance that we'd expect. Today's high was 1338.2 so far. So now, if we switch over to, just give me a moment here, if we switch over to the proper contract, which is the May contract, this would be, stay with me.
So this is where you trade in your normal voice?
This is where I'm trading in my normal voice, not in a silly high-pitched whine.
Okay.
And the May contract would normally have reached 1332. These are natural targets that the market would have achieved by making the bottom that they made yesterday. And so we're in a trade in the contract right now based upon the idea that, you know, there's a couple cents more on the upside and maybe we can get it. The market doesn't have to do it all today. And later, if this is an important bottom, which remember I've told you that February 23rd would be a very important date for all of these markets. Now, because of the holiday, which was President's Day, that threw me off yesterday because in spatial relationship forecasting, the very thing that Lynn had asked me, that's why I was stumbling yesterday a little bit about the gold market. Let me imitate myself from yesterday, because I'm normally very confident and quite bold, right? But yesterday was something like this. We'll get, you know, it'll go, I mean, higher, I think. I think it was 33 cents, anyway, but
yeah,
it's gold,
it's,
you know. That was me yesterday. And just want to do my own imitation of myself. I'm a man of 1,001 voices, minus 1,000, and I'm just going to do my own. And that was me yesterday. Anyway, so having said that, first let me finish on the soybeans. This bottom, the 23rd here, this is very important. There should be a pretty powerful move out of this, and I think there's good money to be made on the long side of this market. What I'd like to see is if we start getting hourly or daily closes above that 1332 level basis, the May contract, then we can trade up substantially higher from here. Multi-day advance, this is not something that's going to happen in one day. This is a multi-day back and forth and then, you know, sort of a trend following type of move. So that's something for people who are in the audience that want to trade soybeans, which is a wonderful market, one of the fastest paying markets there is, believe me. We've seen it a number of times. It can move a large amount of points in a very small period of time. So now, having said that, unless there's any questions about gold, or excuse me, about silver, let me go on to gold real quick. The gold market also is running up, but its date has been changed because of the holiday, okay? Gold has its turning point due on the 24th, and it's bumped out one day because of the president's holiday, okay? So that's what had thrown me off yesterday, because I was looking at it and I could not put the calculation together because I wasn't taking into account for gold the president holiday. And so in order for this trade to be valid, and this could very easily happen even though we're not that far off of it, it's best if the market did not take out 1426 on the upside. If it does, we'll still short it, but we will trade for more nearby targets. And so we'll see how that handles. You know, we actually have now, tomorrow is the on-time day, so we have to deal with, we have a little bit more time before the gold market happens. But as I've said before on the program, when you see a number of different markets all coming together on the same day, there's usually a very, very important move both into and out of those dates. So this, you can see there's been a very big move into February 23rd on the S&P, which is the next important reflected wave bottom. That there's, you know, obviously that ties in with these other markets. February 23rd for soybeans, February 24th because of the holiday on gold. So there's quite a bit happening for February 23rd, including crude as well. So that's why the markets, that's why there's so many big moves, because there's so many different coinciding factors for February 23rd. We've talked about February 23rd for about a week to tell people how important this date would be. And so we'll have to wait for gold into tomorrow. And there's quite a possibility that we could break out to new recent highs here with the gold market rushing up. The instability in the Middle East, you know, I'm not an expert on the business of, you know, how the news affects the market. And I honestly think there's just as much mystery surrounding how news is going to affect markets as there is in technical analysis, because a lot of people just think of technical analysis as mumbo jumbo, and you know, it's a bunch of nonsense. You guys got lines and charts and all that other stuff, and yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, whatever, you know, sometimes everything works, you know, that's how they feel about it.
Well, every now and then the weatherman's right.
Yeah, that's true. I shoveled 3 feet of partly cloudy off my doorstep this morning. Little humor there.
Yeah, unless you live in Phoenix or Las Vegas, then they're always right.
Yeah. so anyway, we did hit an important low this morning by, although it's not necessarily, let me take a look. We had 1301, and then below 1301 is 1298. So right between where we hit this morning, which is 1325, so three ticks below 1301, that level should produce a bounce in the S&P, even if they want to go lower here. So we may trade this. We may see us taking a trade to the long side in the S&P as well. Even though we've had, you know, quite a bit of down move, we're now in the on-time day for the bottom. The turning point is based on reflected wave. We've done this, you know, 100 times on the program. And so because the market, because of the volatility that's been put into the market, we at least wanted to wait, like I told you yesterday, we at least wanted to wait for sure for the on-time day, and then we'll manage a position, and we'll come out with a forecast for what the market will do on the upside. I've just been busy this morning and haven't, I'm still recovering from yesterday's gold spin, and I'm just joking, and you know, a little bit later today we'll come out with the exact price movement that this market will go up over a number of days here. So there's a nice trade coming in the S&P. For those of you who are willing to hold overnight positions, as an example. Then finally, I do want to mention that yesterday I had the currencies turned on, and I was doing some experimenting with, you know, honestly, I'm not even sure what currency I was looking at. One of them was the Denmark krone slash the U.S. dollar, or the Denmark krone slash.
Yeah, we trade that baby all the time.
Yeah, that's a heavy one. But I was asking Bert, and I think you guys are trading in the 6E. And are you doing the euro dollar? Is that a big one too? That's what he said.
Actually, what it is, David, it is the, you know, Bert, are you here? Why don't you speak on this?
It's the euro currency.
And it's a futures contract. It's not a Forex pair where you're trading the euro against the U.S. dollar or anything. It's, you're just trading the euro currency futures contract. So,
how does that look to you, Mike? Is that a tradable instrument, or is that a... Or do you prefer the 6E for that?
I prefer the 6E to trade the euro.
And okay. David, if you were doing the euro currency versus the dollar pair,
mm-hmm.
the numbers are about the same. Okay, for example, the pair, the Forex pair,
mm-hmm.
the bid offer is 137.53 bid, 54 offer.
Mm-hmm.
The 6E is at 137.5.
So oh,
if
okay.
you're doing the currency pair or the futures, they should be about the same.
Okay.
Okay. But we call it the 6E because it's electronically traded. It's a very popular currency. We like the futures over the Forex, and that's because the futures is regulated in the Forex system.
Okay,
so we
gotcha.
Have a passion for that.
Okay.
David, can you see my chart?
Yes.
Okay, this is the 6E, and this was a weekly trading zone from yesterday, and then it
nice
traded
following.
Up to this, to the next zone in today's session. So, now that's a 30-minute chart, obviously.
What's the symbol for the 6E, if you don't mind? Just roll.
For us, it's 6EH1 on our platform. but yours may be slightly different.
David, I can look it up on CQG because I have
it. Oh, if you would, I'd really appreciate that. For those of you who are watching, if you want to, in just I know we're bouncing around on markets here, but the soybean market put in a 5-minute or a small time frame. It doesn't have to be. You can just put up a 5-minute if you want. Reflected wave bottom, a few bars back. That got us long in the market. We took some profits. We bought at 27, and we took some off at 32. So that's our initial exit. And we're waiting now to see if the market, the market's trading right now at about 28 and change, and we're waiting to see if the market can firm up here for a little bit, for further advance a little bit later today.
All right, David?
Yes.
All right, type in E U 6 H 1.
Oh, there you go. So it's rallying today. It's not rallying. It declined. I was looking at a 10-minute chart. And I'm sorry, Duane, what was your zone there that you were talking about? What's the price level? Let me just
yesterday, 645/650. 1.3. 13645.
Oh, 13645.
That was yesterday.
Meaning yesterday, aren't these weekly or no?
These are weekly zones, right? But we hit this 645 zone yesterday and found support.
Okay.
And then on the overnight and up into today's session, we traded up to the next zone. We climbed the next rung up on the ladder to 755/760. I mean, we overshot it a little bit. We ran up to actually 780 and change, it looks like.
Okay, I got you. Okay. All right, so let's see. All right, so for me in this market, I would be at least interested to potentially put a short on if we get up to, tell me if this number is right. Is it 1380.8? Or is it 138.08?
It would be 138.08.
Okay. So, yeah, if we get up to 138.08, which we haven't quite gotten to this morning, we got up to 137.85, a few more ticks up, and that would be, in our work, an initial, here we go, natural number in that market for them to have a reaction off of. That would be a critical juncture where we would want to trade that. And I'm only able to say that because I think the currencies of a number of these work off of the same base number, so that made it easy. And so I'm hoping that I can come out with some.
So you said 1.3808.
Let me double check that. Actually, make it 805.
805.
Do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So because we're at 785 right now, so we're a little bit off of it. But we made a high today of 785, so just about 20 cents or so off of that level. So if we get that, watch how the market trades at that level. Anyway, I'm hoping we can come out with some forecasts for that market, and we can trade it together and make some money.
It has good moves, and a lot of people really love it.
No, that I can see it. It looks pretty volatile.
The volatility that you know how the life's kind of been sucked out of the ES of late. It's nature abhors a vacuum. So that life that got sucked out of the ES, it went into the 6E and to the crude and all kinds of other places. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's great. So there's a lot of important things happening. The soybeans is number one. Gold starts tomorrow, basically. Today is the one day early. The S&P, today is the on-time day for the bottom. We've done a lot so far on the downside to test some important levels. We'll see how the rest of the day plays out here. We should, like I said before, get a bounce off of the bottom that we just put in. And we are actually, we're getting the bounce now. We're just in the way, we're doing the bounce right now. So basically, that's it.
Now, is this bounce? Do you think there's enough of a bounce
Do I think enough of a bounce for... Are you still there, Dwayne?
Yeah. Do you, I mean, do you think this is a tradable bounce?
Well, yeah. Actually, I haven't... I'm not looking at... I've been looking at these other markets, and I want to take a look here for a minute. There's a... if I have a few minutes here, I can tell you... when you say tradable, it's already gone up 5 points, so that's probably tradable. But if you mean a multi-hour bounce, that is possible from here. And what I wanted to do was take a look. Let me give me just a minute here. Let me find something.
In other words, do you think Messenger Pro might take action?
Yeah, it might take action. We might have taken action had I not been on the radio as well.
Okay.
But, you know, it's fine. I mean, we'll... give me just a moment here.
Hey, do you cut David a check? We had him on the radio when he should have been trading. Okay, thanks. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Dwayne is such a comedian.
That'll be showing up in the post office box with all those random $50 checks.
Good from people who've made money from the calls. Well, that's good. Well, you know, I appreciate anything that comes in the mail. Anyway, so we have a lot going on in the markets, and we have a lot of potential setups here based on the 23rd, which I'm excited about for several of these markets. I also want to re-invite anybody who had been thinking about it. We have our Master Forecaster course that we've come out with, which has taken us an enormous amount of time to get to this point to do it. But you know, for people who have been thinking about it and may have some questions about it, they are welcome to call us at pagetrader.com. I'd be very happy to explain any of the details for them. It's a turning point methodology that is very accurate and can allow you to make very bold turning point calls on any time frame. And if that's something that could be useful in your trading system, which I think it most definitely would, but you have to be the judge of that, then it might be something that you would like to look in on. And give us a call. I'd be very happy to answer it. You can also go to masterforecastercourse.com and take a look at, read about it there. Everything in that ad is true, even though it's an ad, you know, and it's written to promote it, obviously. But it is true that it does what we say that it does. And even though it doesn't, it's not designed for all different markets, it does work on different markets under definable conditions. If those conditions exist, then you can do the same thing that you're doing all the time on the S&P in these other markets. Like as an example, crude or gold. I've given out a number. I gave out 6 or 7 daily turning points on gold recently.
And it seems to work quite well there.
Yeah, it does. All on a reflected wave. So, but there's a quality that markets have, that different markets have, that is different than the quality that the S&P has. Because the S&P is an index and has 500 different cross currents, as opposed to a single market that has the only cross currents it has is that there's buyers and sellers in the same thing, as opposed to 500 different sets of buyers and sellers, as we do in the S&P 500, which gives it an entirely different quality. So although it is true that it's really designed for the stocks that make up the 500 index and the index itself, I've actually given out a number of soybean turning points and other turning points using it under these defined conditions, which are very easy to see. And it's not something that you have to calculate. There's no numbers that you have to work. There's nothing that you have to do at all. It's done automatically for you, and you just have to learn how to operate with it, operating automatically like that. So it's very, very handy little tool. I've been using it for many, many years. And for people who want to know this, there's going to be several of my older students from, this is back from 1995, in the ad we talk about the 100 people that I originally trained. Several of those people are going to be there. They're coming partially just to say hi and just to maybe get a refresher on some of the new things that I've developed with that method. And people who are there can chat with them. And, you know, it'll just be good for camaraderie and, you know, just a little bit of the background and where, how they all got involved. And these are people that are still trading 15 years after I traded them and still using that technique. So I wanted to bring some of those people along as well.
Well, you know, that's really a nice touch to have some alumni there.
Yes, it is.
15 years later.
And they called up
and
asked.
That's really quite nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to have them there. I'm going to seat them in the back so that the people that are new can have the fronter, you know, closer seats. And so anyway, so it'll be fun. And they'll take some of the, you know, I'm
now
sure
I,
a lot of people will have questions for them.
I know you already emailed out the invitation. And, of course, you said people can call you and just speak to direct. Is there some place on your site that people can click to read the invitation? Because you did really a nice job on the invitation.
When you say the invitation, you mean the just the ad for it?
Right.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. The only place we have it right now is at masterforecastercourse.com. That's the only place that it's available. It's not on our site yet. And we're just right now. And I know there's some typos and some strange little things in there, but it's we didn't really finish it, to be honest with you. The end of that ad, the last, say, 10 or 12% of it, was really not finished properly, but I honestly, I just burned out. I'm working, you know, 60 hours a week here, and then I was adding an extra 32 hours trying to finish that thing. And
I think you did I think you did a fantastic job.
Do you really? I'm
I
so
do.
Glad to hear that.
I really
am, because
I know I sent you that text message with that little nitpicky thing, and afterwards I felt bad. I'm like, man, this guy worked so hard, and then you're going to pick out the one little thing.
No, I didn't take it that way at all. Actually, the thing is that when I transfer the words over to the tech guy, there's glitches that happen in Word documents when you try to transfer a Word document to a website, to a web page. Anyway, the thing that I wanted, the reason why it took so long to write, at least for me, is because I hate to use this as an analogy, but, you know, Congress has made a law or something that somebody a long time ago said, you know, I don't have the definition for pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that.
Mm-hmm.
And very much in the same way, I don't know how to write ad copy, but I know when it looks good to me. So I had to struggle through writing this until it looked good to me without knowing really how to do that, how to write it. And what I really wanted it to do was read easily.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read it, maybe you'll get what I get out of it is I want it to read, I want a paragraph to read very easily. I don't know how to do that, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A good copy.
You see what I'm saying?
Good ad copy gives you goosebumps.
I mean,
you just go, wow. That's huge.
Yeah, so
and you know what? Copywriters are underappreciated, and I think in a lot of cases underpaid. But a good copywriter, man, they're worth their weight in gold.
They're worth their weight in gold,
if you have a business.
I learned a lot writing this. I mean, it's seriously, I'm not a copywriter, and I did my very best at this, and I finally burned out near the end of it. I wanted to have a better closing piece there. And maybe if I have some time, you know, I'll try to fix it. But it was pure torture. This was pure torture for me, because even though I am very comfortable speaking, for whatever reason, I have a lot of trouble doing what I do verbally in text. And so it took a long, long time for me to write it. I've made millions of changes to this thing along the way. There's whole chunks that are no longer in there. I mean, and I finally got it down to the point where we could, you know, put it up. So I very much appreciate you saying that, because I felt like at the end when I finally put this up, I didn't even care. I was burned out. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know about it. I just was done. And we've had a couple compliments. You were the first one, Dwayne. So you sent it in, and I didn't take your text in the wrong way at all. I appreciate your saying that. And for
this is a true story. When I had my iPad with me, and when that email came in, I literally pulled over to the side of the road, and I read it. I did.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And then I sent you that text. Oh, and I read something this morning that truly fascinated me, and I'm just going to share it with everybody. Some people probably already know it. W.D. Gann, he offered his course initially. I don't know if he ever offered it again, but the master, whatever it was called, his course, he made that course available at the height of the Depression. And I'm talking about the Great Depression.
The big one.
The big one. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really know what makes a depression great, but anyway, my point is this. Do you know what he charged for his course at the height of the Great Depression?
No.
I'm going to tell you. Wait, does anyone in the audience know? Raise your hand. Okay, I'll take that as a no. Rich knows. Good job. $5,000. Richard.
Well, let's see.
Good
at
job.
The height of the Depression, that would be equivalent to $50,000 today, probably.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Some large number, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a small fortune. It was a small fortune in a good economy in 1929. But we're talking about the height of the Great Depression. So it's probably seemed like even more because people had literally nothing. So there you go. Anyway,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and so based on that, I think you priced it pretty fairly.
Oh, well, good. I certainly intend on giving my all to it, and I want to assure people again that the ones that do take advantage of the course, if there's anybody that is, afterwards there's going to be 3 hours of one-on-one web time, similar to what you're doing with Dwayne here on the radio, to just make absolutely sure you understand it and give you little tips and tricks and things that you can use it, certain things that you can do with it. And I'm also, during this course on Sunday, the day after the first day of Saturday, of course, and on Sunday we're going to talk about a price thing that you can do that will actually give you price targets that are based on a timing method, which is a complete flip around. And I think that'll be a really nice. That's not in the ad. It's not something that people know about, but I'm letting your listeners know that's something that we're going to be doing as well. And so we're hoping, if you have an interest in being there, we're about 83% filled right now. And, we probably have maybe another week left before it is. So if you have some questions about it, give us a call. I'll be very happy to explain any other things in detail.
Oh, and Richard, he said to tell you, he's the planetary guy who's coming to the course, and he's the guy who knew that Gann charged $5,000 for it.
Wow.
So
he's been around the block.
He already knew what a deal he was getting. Yeah, so there you go.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Alan asks, how many seats?
Well, we originally, my intention was to keep it very small, and we're probably looking roughly now at about maybe a total of 18 to 20.
Okay.
And I still think that's small enough to manage, but it won't be any more than that. And you have to remember, there's going to be three of these people from the past there as well, and those seats, they're going to be in their own seats wherever they are. But, it may be less than that. It just depends on, obviously, the response from people. But right now, we're very close to filled up at the 15 level. So there's only a few more left. If people have an interest, they might want to give us a call.
Yeah. Alan just said that one of those seats are his. So Richard's in, Alan's in. Okay.
Okay.
And Alan, a different Alan, had a question for you about this 1,300 on the S&P.
1,300 on the S&P. Okay.
Do you think that this 1,300 is good enough for a buy and hold overnight? Is that something that you would look at trading yourself, perhaps?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I would tell you something, that normally, if it wasn't for the fact that there was a lot of dates that have come together on February 23rd for this turn, under normal conditions, if that wasn't the case, then I'd be much more aggressive with this. Because there are so many dates, so many markets that came together, this can be a much larger move than normal. It already kind of has been a much larger move than normal. However, having said that, a little bit later today, I'm going to, in fact, tomorrow when we're on the radio, I'll give you the calculation, or I'll give you the numbers on the upside, the normal reversal that you can trade to. It won't all happen in one day, but it'll be something that you can, hang your hat on, and you can trade to on the upside.
Okay.
So I should have that for you tomorrow. I prefer when all these dates come together like this, I prefer to let the market have more room, because the move is usually bigger than normal. And this move already has been bigger than normal. And this has been a sizable decline, taken away a lot of points value here. And I don't know what the news behind this is, but I do know that the setup that precipitated this with February 23rd, across that many different markets, from soybean to crude to gold to whatever else we talked about, that's a lot of different markets having the same date. And so I am a little more cautious about trying to grab, a price, being aggressive with this. I would rather be a short seller, at least temporarily, until we get a little more confirmation. That's just also my style of trading. As you guys know, I'm much more risk-averse because it seems to me that I do better when I have more winning trades, even if they're for smaller amounts of money, than I do getting off on, so to speak, getting in more aggressively and having to get it right and then, you know, making more money on that trade.
Right.
But that type of trading, you know, costs you in the end. It can cost you in the end. You have, because you're going to have more, not cost you, but I mean, it can make more losses. That's all what I'm saying. And you have to just be able to deal with that. So
now, we've talked about this a lot in the past. You see something technically, you see something in spatial relationship forecasting, you come out with one of these important dates like the 23rd. And see, at this point, people will go, well, it's obvious that it has to do, everything to do with Libya, you know, and all the people that have died there and the unrest in the Mideast and all of those things. But if I'm not mistaken, the February 23rd date was mentioned by you on numerous occasions. It was also mentioned by Richard in the chat room. The other day he typed in, he goes, man, I got all kind of stuff coming together here on the 23rd. You talked about it. And then
one of your astro guys had something, and I'm not sure if it was Richard.
I thought it was Richard. Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it was. He had mentioned that he had something in that area. He had also mentioned the 21st, and I don't know if that was, if I'm remembering that correctly. But there is a lot of stuff, and I'm not surprised to hear that he would have, if he's looking at astro and some other things, that he might have found a lot of conjunctions coming together there. One of the things I want to point out is that this is something for just people to think about. Astro is in the market even though it's in the sky. So you can look to the sky to try to figure out what's in the market, but if you go with the idea that the astro is what moves markets and makes market do things, in the market, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't have to look up. Is that what you're saying?
You don't have to look up because it's in the market.
Right.
It's already influencing the market, and you can find all kinds of connections in the market that'll tell you very accurate things without looking up because it's actually in the market. This is an example of thinking outside the box. You're looking to the sky, nothing wrong with it, and they're making no criticism here. But I'm just pointing out, this is one of the things that I do, this is one of my ways of thinking, is that if it really is true that the astro is moving markets and has an influence on it, which I believe is the case, then the whole market already is effusing all kinds of relationships that are in the market. You don't have to go find them in a much more complex wheel within a wheel within a wheel in the astro. You've got, you know, effectively almost 12 planets out there that you have to deal with to try to convolute what the markets are going to do based on those configurations. But if it's true that those things are really moving the markets, then those things are right in front of you, and those connections are much more local and trackable and believable. You follow what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's already in the market. You know, it's like a person standing in a wind tunnel, and they want to measure the wind, and they say, "Well, his hair is blowing." Well, the wind is in his hair. I can measure the wind by looking at his hair. I don't have to walk all the way down to the end of the wind tunnel and read what's on the manufacturer's, you know, motor. What is that?
It'll take too long to get the wheel in the sky. It keeps on turning.
Yeah, okay.
But you get my point.
You might want to play it in a version that's American so that people can understand what it is, but that was good.
No, that's Journey. I mean, I realize they have high-pitched voices. That is their regular voice, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that was very good.
In the sky.
Anyway, if a guy's standing in a wind tunnel, let me finish this point before you...
Okay. Yeah, before I interrupt you again rudely. Okay.
No, that's good. If a guy's standing in a wind tunnel and his hair is being blown by the wind,
yeah,
I can walk all the way to the end of the wind tunnel and go find the motors and read the specs on the motors to try to find out. I can also look at his hair and study his hair and know all kinds of things about the wind, can't I? Because it's in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what I'm telling people to think about with astro. It's in the market. The connections you're looking for to go try to find these deep, involved connections, these conjunctions and harmonics and everything else, and try to relate that to something in the market, it's already in the market, and therefore it's relatable much more locally if you want to look at it that way. Something for people to think about. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, it's in the market, but I have to look in the sky to figure that out. If it's in the market, it's in the market. If it's operating in the market, if it's moving the market, those connections are in the market in some way, shape, or form. So,
gotcha.
I tend to think that it's easier to find by looking at the market than it is by looking at 12 moving objects and trying to ascertain which one has what effect on which, and which one's connected to this market, which one's connected to that market, and on
and on. Didn't there used to be 13?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how many objects there are out there, obviously, but I think there might be
Pluto got demoted.
Oh, did Pluto get demoted?
That's what I, yeah.
Okay.
When I was a kid. Hey, yeah, it was, Richard said it was him that had brought that up the other day, and that the 21st, you're correct, the 21st was one of the dates that he had, and that was, in fact, the day that the S&P topped on the night of the 21st. And then Afshin said this, like the three, Afshin, is that a comma? Are you saying the 3 and the 14 number that has some relationship with everybody's mind? Okay, so two different numbers, the number 3 and the number 14. I was listening to this podcast. I encourage you guys to listen to it. It's called Back to Work. I find it very interesting, these guys, how they think. But they were talking about different people, some people, I don't know, maybe all people, I thought I was the only person, but count things in their mind. It's not really an obsessive compulsive thing, but it is. And they were talking about how many people count the number 4. And he was talking about how he found out that one of his buddies counted things in threes, and just how absurd and weird that was, because nobody counts threes, everybody counts 4. So, interesting, mm-hmm. Afshin, that you bring up the 3. So it's the pi number, okay. Now, I'm not a big math guy. My pi is mostly like apple. Occasionally blueberry, but I know what you're talking about. So what are your thoughts on that, David?
I like apple, and I'm, you know, sometimes cherry is good too, but I mean, you know, you want to invite me over for apple pie, I'm there. That's my thought right there. Are you talking about on the numbers themselves?
Yeah, the numbers, and I'm not sure what the relationship with everybody's mind is that you're referring to, Afshin. That's not, it really struck me because I count things in threes. I'm always seeing things in threes. And to find out that normal people do the same thing but do it with the number 4, and I'm just one of the weird guys off on the lunatic fringe that counts things in their head in threes. I was blown away. But anyway.
That is interesting. I don't know. I would certainly believe, I'll tell you this, that I've said this before, everybody has their own unique consciousness, and they think differently, they perceive differently. You can put people in a room and, you know, they've done these experiments, and so people do perceive things dramatically differently, and I'm positive that people would think, there may be a norm for people, maybe what he's saying is that, you know, there's a norm for people, they tend to think in fours, even number, might throw people off a little bit because they're harder to do math with in your head. You know, 3, 6, 9, 12 is probably a little harder than 2, 4, 6 for a lot of people. I think I'm one of the people that probably thinks in fours if I had to be asking myself, because it's an easy thing to do math with. It's a little harder for me. Like, as an example, if you give me 8 and 4, I know it's 12 immediately, but I think for a few seconds when it's 8 and 3, or if it's 12 and 3, or 11 and 3. But anything in 4 is easier for me. So I think I'm on, for me, that's just, you know, that's just how I go. That's how I roll.
Afshin says, there's a trader from Morocco who predicts the market. His name's Belkhayader. I can't pronounce that right. But he uses the pi number to calculate things much the way you use what you use in a different way. Oh, and it's 3.14.
Yeah. There's a lot of that type of thing with pi and other numbers, but I honestly, I've not been able to really lean on those things the way that I lean on other things. I don't know, it just hasn't been, maybe, and maybe like you, I'm not really a math guy. I'm much more a visual guy that later reduced it to math. but I'm not much of a math guy. And some people really are in contact with numbers. It really means something to them. They get it. I'm not sure that I'm that guy when it comes to raw numbers. But to the people who are, and they work with pi and these other formulas and stuff, it may be very meaningful for them, and it may really take them places, and they can place trades on it. So again, it has to do with your perception. But I always encourage people to try to think about what the norm is, and then try to consciously think outside the box. It takes some effort. It's not going to necessarily come natural. It didn't come natural to me. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm kind of a lazy thinker. But I've grown into an interest of thinking outside of the box because I have found value outside of the box. And so I encourage people to think outside of the box and make an effort to do so. It doesn't come mostly to most people like myself. It doesn't come naturally. It's not something that you're going to wake up and just go, God, I'd really like to think about, let's see, people eat food. I wonder what would happen if, you know, and try to think outside of the box about, you know, something simple that everyone accepts, you know, that type of thing. You have to put some effort into that. But it's paid off handsomely in a number of different ways for me in related to the markets. And I really believe that everybody has a thing that they're going to find if they'll take the time. It's a whole gold mine out there that you can find. Yes, there's some blind alleys, and you will burn some energy going down a blind alley. But you'll also find some amazing things. They're just laying out there if you're willing to think outside the box. So I really encourage people to spend some time thinking about what you've already accepted as true, and then playing with that idea. Make it fun. It's not work. It's not a science project. Just make it fun. Just playfully go outside of the box. Think about how things might be, how an idea, if you inverted the idea or twisted it around, something like that, how it might come to fruition. Just as an example, just to give you an example, that whole little bit that we just talked about with astrology, that's a bit like thinking outside the box. Because we're constantly saying, well, the stars, the planets, they're causing these things to happen. But have you ever taken it just one step further to say, if those are causing them things to happen, then those relationships are in the market. And those expressions can be found in the market probably a lot easier. Those connections can be found a lot easier than trying to discern them from the 12 different moving objects in the sky, or whatever the number is, 10 different objects moving in the sky. Highly complex, you know, astrology and all that stuff. And there is something to it. There's no question about it. It's all one system. Everything is one big system, you know, interacting. And, you know, you hear people philosophize, well, no, you know, nothing, everything happens for a reason, and, you know, all that. Well, it's quite true. I mean, I've given this example on the program before. The Ganges River is supposedly 4,000 miles long. That's really long. If I go to the edge of that river, you know, let's say I go to the 4,000 mile edge of that river, and I take a little eyedropper with just one little drop, and I just put one drop in that Ganges River, you know what? The entire 4,000 miles has been displaced by one drop. Not that little local area. You can measure it there. You might not be able to measure it, but the fact is that the entire 4,000 miles has been completely changed, because that one drop of water displaced the entire 4,000. It didn't displace it just locally. It displaced the whole darn shooting match.
Yeah, what's that theory? The butterfly flapping his wings.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind how that whole theory came about. Have you ever read the backstory on that?
I know the theory. I don't think I've read
anything on it.
The butterfly, the weather effect, the butterfly batting its wings.
Because,
you know, causes.
Because I, unlike some of your other so-called friends, I actually listen to This American Life every week.
Well, see? That's some people do.
And I learned this. There was a guy, a real guy, and he was working on a computer program, and he was trying to do some kind of weather prediction thing, and he was hungry and he wanted to go to lunch, and he saw that he was like one, you know, infinitesimal crazy decimal point off on some calculation he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And because he wanted to go eat lunch, instead of stopping to fix it, he goes, mm-hmm. It's such a small amount, it won't matter, right? So he went to mm-hmm. lunch, and he comes back, and in his computer modeling program, the world had been destroyed.
Right.
And that set that whole thing in motion, that whole school of thought of trying to, that yes, that butterfly flapping his wings in that rainforest in the Amazon can cause something to happen in Brooklyn.
Right. Very much the same way that the river is displaced, even though it may not be noticeable, the fact, and that's what I love to deal with, is facts. The fact is that the entire 4,000 miles has been displaced by that tiny one drop. So it's a good way to remind yourself, perhaps, that everything is connected. So the solar system and the stars and all the things that are moving, everything in motion is connected to everything in motion. The whole thing is one big expression. We can break it down into little bits and pieces, but the whole thing is connected. And I think science is finding out more and more that that certainly is the case. We even have people who very brilliantly came out with the theory that the Earth is a living organism and that many of the diseases and things that happen to people happen because the Earth is being impacted by people and it's defending itself. So it's living, it's a living organism that's trying to, you know, some of these things like Ebola or whatever. This is just a theory, but just the fact that people are thinking more like that, instead of thinking as the Earth as, you know, dirt, crust, mantle, you know, magma, all these separate pieces, it's one whole thing that in some strange way in nature has its own, you know, for lack of a better word, consciousness, its own life as an entity, in a sense, and it is living amongst us, and we're living amongst it. And if we drill too much, and if we do too this, that, and the other, and we hurt it too much, it responds. This is either a Nobel guy or a guy that is, you know, a very high level guy in, you know, social stratus who came up with that idea, and that's an expression of what I'm talking about, is thinking of the whole system rather than just thinking of it as a bunch of parts that happen to be working together. You know, nature is a great example of that. You know, just how many, many amazing different things happen in nature. And when people say, well, that's natural, it means a lot to people because nature only does go so far because it's taking into account. When somebody says, well, that's natural, it relaxes people. It makes people feel comfortable because, in a sense, people know that nature doesn't just go run off in one direction indiscriminately against its previous creations. It balances what it's doing in light of previous creation. And so when we say something's natural, there's kind of an intelligence to it, that that thing exists and was created knowingly inside of this already existing creation. And so to be natural means it wasn't man-made, it was created by the intelligence in nature. And that same intelligence, you know, we didn't spin those planets into motion. Man didn't spin the Earth at this particular speed and on and on and on. These things were all created by, if you want, the Big Bang, which again is part of nature. And I'm not addressing the religious side of this, of course. But
no, I believe I believe that you know I'll address the religious side. I believe that when God spoke the universe into existence, it made a very loud noise.
Well, there you are. There you are.
Bang.
By Dwayne Reeves.
That's it. Hey, Alan asks, this 13805 number that you had on the euro?
Yes.
At this point, because we've pulled back from that a bit, is that still a number that you would expect to see the market trade up to?
That actually, and having said this, and thank you for the question, I'm not an expert. Obviously, this is my first foray into Forex. How's that?
That's
for
good.
A little thing.
Nice.
Foray into Forex. And that's a natural level that the market would advance to. So the question's a good one. If he's asking, would it go there? Yes, that's a target.
Okay.
So what was the symbol for the I don't have it on my chart, but what's his name? Give it to
hey,
me.
Bert, can you help us?
He's not there. I don't still have it. Anyway, I was going to
remember.
I'd like to take a look at it.
It's not the same symbol that we use.
What I wanted to do was give out a reflected wave bottom that he could buy. So that he could buy for the advance up to that.
Here, Michael. Michael's got to take off. Michael, we'll see you in the morning. I'll talk to you later this afternoon. Michael, do you remember the symbol that Bert gave David for the 6E for David's platform?
Do you remember David? Do you remember who I am, Michael? Can we work with that? Okay. Clearly, he doesn't.
Clearly, I guess he already ran. So,
okay.
Hi, Michael. See ya. Let me get Bert's attention. Bert, 6E symbol again, please.
And I'll have to...
Actually, he says Bert typed in that he had that Journey song in his head and he can't get it out, so he may be outside screaming now. Oh, thank you, GS. GS has it for us. EU6H1.
Okay, and let's take a quick look at this. And again, please understand, this is not something that I work with and or know about. I mean, it's just, this is all new to me. But I wanted to take a look and see if I can, first of all, yes, the natural level would be for a test of 138.05, and we've gotten as high as 137.85. Normally in our work, this is not reflected wave now, this is actually a different thing. This is that when the market can not reach a natural number, that means something. But because the market's in a strong position right now, that's, we're talking about this EU6H, I guess that's the 6E, the Euro FX,
mm-hmm.
It's in a strong position right now. We would expect any pullback to be buying territory for a further advance and test of that level. That's the normal thing that we would expect. That's how,
because
we're
based on what we do and with our indicators, we're at a really good pullback right here. Now, we penetrated that resistance at 55.60 once, now a pullback. So on this second attempt, any break for us of 7.60, which also is a little trend line I just put on the chart, if price gets above 760, then the door's wide open for this thing to go to the previous high at 780 and then advance beyond that to the number that you just gave out, 805.
Okay.
And each tick, or pip, however you mm-hmm. want to call it, is worth $12.50 per contract.
Okay.
So
here's a way
that's
to think about this.
If quite a few pips.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dwayne.
No, I'm just saying quite a few pips.
This is just really general, and I'm sorry, because I'm not going to try to do reflected wave on this because this is just too new of a market, et cetera. But here's what I would do. I'd buy them right now in any hourly close below either 137.31 or maybe 137.25, somewhere in that range. I don't know how much a pip is worth.
$12.50.
I just buy them. Yeah, I just buy it and hold for a reversal at or near these levels in any hourly close. Below 137, say 25, would be an exit. I don't know how much that would cost you to do that. But the market's in a strong position, and on the daily
chart...
Well,
think chart, of it this way. We're at 740 right now. Is your feed delayed? Do you show 13740?
Mine is showing 13739.
Yeah,
remember,
okay,
we
so
had
you're
that,
live.
A kind of an order that you can do. It's called buy the silly thing. It's just buy, it's
oh, yeah.
BTST.
Yeah.
Buy the silly thing. And that's something you could do. You could use a buy the silly thing order and just be long here and book some immediate profits up at 137.60 and then hold the rest for higher prices, you know, like the other numbers that we gave earlier that I don't have in front of me.
Now that's
but
66
I like that.
Pips from where we are right now, where we mm-hmm. buy the silly thing, up
mm-hmm.
to 13805.
Mm-hmm.
That's 66 pips. So times 1250 per pip or tick, it's
mm-hmm.
$825 per contract.
Put $50 in an envelope.
There you
David
go.
Williams, P.O. Box. Okay. But that would be the way that I would handle this, because what the market did yesterday, this has nothing to do with reflected wave or anything, but what the market did yesterday is it put itself into a position where today's close above those levels would be a bullish position. You would have to hold the position on the overnight, manage your risk, you know, place a stop on the overnight in those areas, or a little bit bigger because Globex can probably move a little bit more. But again, I'm just looking at the market. Somebody's asking, that's kind of a general outlook. I like it. I want to be long. That's how I think about it. So, and I like the level that it's at right now, similar to what Dwayne had said earlier, and, you know, it's kind of a buy the silly thing setup. So, I hope that's helpful.
Yep.
And let's see, if we did go a little bit, oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
Alan said thank you.
Okay, you're quite welcome, Alan. My pleasure, and I hope it's good information for you. We are putting in a 5 minutes or a short time frame reflected wave bottom on the S&P right now. So if people wanted to, just as I switch back, I'm seeing this is the first place where we might want to be buyers, because the market has attempted the 1298, or we got down to 1297.50 in our panel today. 1298 is the lowest level recorded for today, or shown in the panel for today. So this is an important level now for the market today. So we're in the on-time bar right now. For those of you who had reflected wave, just pick your chart, but 5 minutes would be easy to see it. The bar came 1 unit early, so the low came 1 unit early so far, and they're starting to respond off this. You would have known this in advance for that bar, and they're starting to firm up here off of the 98. I really love tying together two separate pieces. We have a timing system, and we have a price level. And those two together can make for very powerful trades, reversals, easy to hold, that kind of thing. So I hope that's helpful as well.
Outstanding. I'm really glad to see you moving into the gold and into the euro currency. I've always thought that what you did was very valuable and could be applied to other markets. And I know that you really focused your energy on the ES.
A lot.
But,
on the ES.
But
there's really a lot. Thank you for saying that. And there's a lot of really great stuff. I haven't, you know, just by looking at them, I've been astonished at how beautifully the markets run to their natural levels, and it was not difficult to find. Putting yesterday aside, it was not difficult to find, the numbers that work for those markets. So that was very encouraging, and I'll give more market calls on these. Let's see how we work out with gold, because I really am interested in that as well for tomorrow. If we do break out, that's a different trade, but we can still take a trade off of it. In the meantime, listen, I've taken up enough time. I just want to thank you for having me on the show, Duane. Appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to seeing, I think you said both Alan and Richard at the seminar out there. And we're going to serve lunch as well, and you guys can eat good while you're there.
Will there be pie?
Well, there will be.
Okay.
There's going to be dessert there, Duane. I mean, that goes without saying. You come to a David Williams Reflected Wave seminar, there's going to be pie.
Definitely going to be pie. Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks so much, Dave.
All right. Thank you so much, and I'll talk with you tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks again for the time. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the longest hour in public talk radio. We did an hour and 25 minutes today, an hour or 1 hour of allotted time, so that's pretty good. Apply that to your budget. Stretch those radio hours. Now, I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate all of you that log in and actually ask questions and participate as a part of the community. I like it. So, not much else I can tell you about this chart here in front of us. If you are a CFRN partner, you have access to the dynamic support and resistance. Yesterday, we were talking about waiting for resistance to appear. This time yesterday, we were having this conversation. We said, watch for the red dots to appear. Okay? Not in the sky, but on your chart. Dynamic resistance. Nailed it really good. I mean, the drawdown there was like not much. Okay? Is it always perfect? No. Not at all. But was it pretty good here? Yeah. I think you have to at least give it that. It was, I don't know. How do you say pretty good? Question is, can it be pretty good down here? So for those of you that have the indicator, you can be watching that. And once the markets close today, and then they open back up 15 minutes later, You might see it on the overnight. You might see it in the wee hours of the morning. You might ask Michael to code you an alarm that will send a text message to your mobile phone when the dot prints. Yeah, he can do that. Well, I don't want to give him too, I think he can do that if you really wanted one. But that's where I would be looking. I mean, today is, David say, the on-time day. Get a bounce. Or tomorrow's the on-time day. However it went, this is an hourly chart. This is a big time frame for a day trader. Okay? For a swing trader, a position trader, you know, maybe an hour is a small time frame for them. For us, it's a big time frame. This drop here went from 13.1975 all the way down to 12.99. Okay. A break of this trend line tells you something. But I'm thinking before we break that trend line, you would probably, possibly even on the next hourly candle, you might see dynamic support. And you might not. Okay. David's pretty confident about this area here providing a bounce. So we'll watch for that. We'll watch over the next few candles to see if we do get some dynamic support. If we do, we can go here, look for some long trades. Or we can go here and look for some long trades. This is a pretty nice one setting up right here. The only thing that would concern me about this is you got the, and this is on a 10,000 contract. Okay, this is a volume chart. You've already got dynamic resistance setting up right there. At this turning point right here, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, we got off 70,000 contracts and hit resistance. This is bullish. This is bullish. And real quick, we'll see what the DMT looks like. Oh. Okay, let me try that again. DMT, create new area. There we go. Okay. It's kind of tied up in a knot right here. See that? It was bearish. Okay. On this leg of the journey right here, envelope was bearish. Coincided with this downslope here. Now this is turning up. This is stalling out. And although this is blue, see how this turned red and opened up like a flower? Okay. Not so much yet. It may. But what may happen is we may come down and test this area again. Now, I've always said this. So I haven't always said it, but I've said it for a while since I came to the realization that truly important prices are almost always tested. If this is the end of the sell-off, at least for today or for a couple days, then that makes this an important area, right? I mean, we've dropped how much in the last 2 days since Monday? Drop began at 1340. We're now, so we're 40 points lower. Okay, 40 points lower. That's significant on the S&P. That's 400 points on the Dow, roughly. See, this thing may not be done. All right. So back to what I was saying. If this is the number after the 40-point drop, 42 points, whatever it is, this is the number where this thing is going to turn and try to retrace at least 50% of that, which would be 20 points. then my argument is that if this is the area where the market's going to turn, then it will probably get tested. To the tick? Not necessarily. I mean, anywhere down at 1299, I would consider that a test of 1298. That's if it's done going down. See, I have nothing that says, boy, I gotta get into this thing before it gets away from me. If we just had a 40-point drop, a good bounce will be at least 10 points, more like 15 or 20. So do I have to catch this? No. Now, if it comes back down into here, something you might consider. Okay. See how if it comes up out of here, you got something to trigger you into a trade. But also, trend lines are free. The DT Pro platform has rollover trend lines. If you don't use them all up this month, they just go over to next month. Now remember, we're getting our context here. But we don't have dynamic support yet. We can go to the 30-minute. And that's going to really mess your head up because we traded down through dynamic support. So now it's actually got to print resistance before it can print support. Remember we had that conversation yesterday? So we're going to watch. Dan, I see your question. Which bean contract are we trading? I don't have a bean chart up right now. The current month is it April?
It's March.
Oh, there you are, Bert. Yeah, March.
Yeah, right now it's March until the end of February.
Okay.
And then Ben and I had the discussion about an hour ago. The next month should be May. David had done something in July, but it should have been May if you're looking for liquidity.
And for Dan, the symbol on May is for DT
K.
Pro.
It'd be ZS for soybeans, and then for the month it would be K.
Okay. ZSK. All right. Okay, Bert, well, we're going to wrap this thing up, man. Anything you want to add?
No, I mean, crude, the high was 99.95. They tried it. And I do believe the S&P will bounce here at that 1298 level. That was real close to what we had, so
okay.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Sounds
good.
We'll
see you in the morning.
All right, brother. Give my best to Leslie.
Will do.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, guys. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.